This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's get to the defensive line and the defense. So John Allen's out for the year, and it looks like at least 1 month without Javonte Jean-Baptiste, and maybe a game, we'll see, without Dorrance Armstrong, although good news today was it seemed like he was down around the practice field getting some work in. Who is going to step up on defense moving forward? That's the question at 800-636-1067. Who do you anticipate breaking out for the rest of this year and really carrying more weight than they have?
So the easiest answer is the other guy that's been a Pro Bowler, or the other guy that's making a ton of money on this defensive line. But I'm going to leave that, because to me, this might be super hipster. This might be stupid. In fact, Grant, you could probably play this audio and you could mock me later on, not too far down the line. But I feel like there's going to be an opportunity for Jamin Davis to get on the football field. And I've been critical of him in the past as a linebacker, mostly because of I thought it was a terrible pick that Rivera and the Martys made, but that's water under the bridge. He's here. I think as somebody that's explosive, fast, and can get upfield, there's a use for that. Now, it may not be every down. You may not want him fighting, you know, tackles or pulling guards or get, you know, a double team by tight ends and tackles. But to me, in a passing situation, and there'll be plenty of those, he could be someone that could help them. So that's my answer. He's been inactive. He's been, you know, a non-factor for a little bit. I got Jamin Davis all of a sudden having a role going forward.
I do not dislike that one at all. I want to go back to Daron Payne, though, because first and foremost, before we talk about guys that have to now start making an impact or that are getting more playing time or the role elevates and you become a starter, you said it's kind of an easy answer, a cliche. You need Daron Payne to play like a big boy here. He makes all of the money.
Yeah.
He is 27 years old. He's going to be the foundational building block on the interior of this D-line moving forward in life without John Allen, presumably, if Allen's not back next year. The only thing they could do is bring Allen back, even though there's no guaranteed money, and maybe flip Daron Payne if they feel like that there's trade value there, depending on his season. But he had 11.5 sacks a couple years ago. And I'm not going to use sacks as the end-all, be-all.
But it passed the eye test, man. He was a force.
No, he was a beast. That year, he had 20 quarterback hits. Mm-hmm. Last year, he had 11.
Mm-hmm.
This year, through six games, he has two.
Yep.
He is on pace right now to hit the quarterback essentially like six or seven times. Now, the 20 quarterback hits in his career year, which was his contract year, by the way, when he had 11.5 sacks, that is an all-pro caliber season. That is a fringe dominant, one of the best players in the league kind of year when you hit the quarterback 20 times as a D-tackle and you have right around a dozen sacks and almost 70 tackles. That is some really impressive water you're swimming in. But that was the only year he ever had like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back because we get more wrong than we get right.
You're right about this. I was wrong.
But the reason I did not want to pay him that crazy amount of money is, number one, I just have a rule that I don't pay guys who have one great year in their contract year that look nothing like the rest of their career. And in the years before, 11.5 sacks, Payne had 5, 2, 3, and 4.5. Then he had 11.5 in a contract year. Tackles for loss for his career, 6, 3, 7, 6, and 18. Which one was the contract year? Quarterback hits, 8, 4, 8, 15, 20. Which one was the contract year? He was just a different player. But it is time right now where you really need him to start looking like he did going back to that breakout 2022 season. That's not that much of an ask.
Right.
For a guy who's one of the highest paid in the league at his position.
Now, again, there may be some things we don't know. What's he being asked to do? Did his role change? Is he now supposed to take on double teams?
Well, he's at a position where you're going to take on doubles.
Yeah.
But 6 weeks at a time is a pretty good sample to say, hit the quarterback more than twice.
And that's where I was going. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is pretty clear cut. Like, you get, at the time, close to the top of the market money, please behave like it on the field. And this isn't to rip him. It's not like he's screwing around off the field and kicking his feet up and not doing his job. But when you pay someone big money, you need big money production.
The example I'll give on, you can be really good without counting stats. The first two sacks of the season for Washington, they had one in week one and one in week two, was Cleveland Farrell. And Cleveland Farrell got both of those sacks on pain plays, where the best play was made by Payne.
Mm-hmm.
He won the play.
Right.
He blew it up.
Disrupted, quarterback moved, and there you go.
Quarterback kind of runs into Cleveland Farrell, and he has two sacks. And on neither of those two plays am I overly impressed with him. The takeaway when you watch that play is, damn, De'Ron Payne's really good. Mm-hmm. Like, what a beast. And so there are plenty of those. I'm not saying there aren't. This is not me saying he has played badly. Don't mishear me. What I am saying is there's a lot more room here for him to go out and be the premier player on this defensive line and one of the really good players on the defense. And he's mostly been very quiet so far. You don't pay him what you pay him to be quiet. And at this point, John Allen not being there only means that you just need more out of him. That's all.
I need one of those. I overtalk about it, but that Denver series, De'Ron Payne first down, De'Ron Payne second down, De'Ron Payne third down, punt. You know what I mean? Where just, oh my God, that guy's unblockable.
Yeah, first down, TFL. Second down, stop at the line of scrimmage by himself. Now it's third and 11, and he gets home for a sack or hits the quarterback as he throws for an incompletion.
He's like, 10 guys could have just taken the time off, just just sat down on the field, crisscross applesauce because 94 is out there.
On that drive, you had him, so nothing else matters.
Yeah, so that's, of course, unrealistic every down. Nobody does that, not even the best players in the game. But the occasional streak of dominance, the occasional big play happening, the occasional disruption, drive stalling type plays haven't really been there near as often enough for my taste.
So this will sound like way too simplified, but he does better things and plays at a higher level and is noticeable in doing those things when you study it more than just an average defensive tackle, whoever that is. Let's just say Fidarian Mathis. But it shouldn't be that big of an ask that you hear his name called more than Sheldon Day.
Mm-hmm.
Or any of those other D-tackles. The disruptive plays is what he gets paid for, respectfully. I mean, the taking on double teams and some of the stuff you can do quietly without your number getting called, your name getting said on the broadcast, that's important too. But the guys that get all the money, look at the D-tackles getting paid what he gets paid. You hear those names called constantly, over and over and over again, by making the plays. The other name I'll give you, because you went off the board with like a deeper cut, you said Jamin, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This one won't be a surprise, but I am such a big believer in this kid that I want it to happen right here and right now. And I don't think he's all the way back yet. I don't get the sense that he is the same player right now that he was the day he played his final down in college. I think there's still some like rehab and development, even though he's healthy. But Johnny Newton, 22 years old, only 47 days of being 22 years old, by the way. He's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Newton, who they drafted essentially in the first round, 36th overall. That's four picks after a guy that was taken in round one. You're about to get a lot more work, more snaps, more reps, an opportunity to be a factor every single week. He has only played defensively in 38% of snaps. That's about to go up by 12 or 14%, I would guess.
At least you think, yeah.
Go make plays, kid. Mm-hmm. He had one play against the Ravens, or he shedded the center, who's good, and he made Derrick Henry basically cut, jumps on him and grabs him, pulls him to the ground individually right at the line of scrimmage for like a loss of a half yard. Those are great. The more of those, the better in the run game. But I want to see him getting up the field and rushing the quarterback. That's what he did at Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Just or anything, even if it's, again, even if it's not the quarterback sack, that's like the ultimate, right?
But just push the pocket and push the pocket. Penetration.
You don't allow the quarterback to step up or make him, disrupt the rhythm and timing. You get your hands up. Again, I with all the short passing in the NFL, and it's happened to Jaden Daniels a couple times, I feel like Washington never bats passes down. Now, maybe that's my own, bias against it, but I feel like that's such a disruptive play, where you force someone to have to wait an extra tick to go around the window that you're creating or that you're eliminating because your arms are up in the air, for example. Things like that. Those can be disruptive enough. Draw some holding penalties. Be a problem. And that's ultimately what you're looking for, right? From a highly drafted or highly compensated defensive lineman. The sacks are wonderful. Those are the ones you see. That's the highlight, especially defensive end comes firing around the edge, and the tackle can't keep up with him trying to slide and pass protect, and he bends like he's going around a motorcycle turn, and he hits the quarterback. Those are the glamour ones. You can picture all the stars who have done that over the years, the Bruce Smiths, the Derek Thomases, the Lawrence Taylors, everybody in between. But down in and down out, not letting them do what they want to do, and you know what I mean? Like, everyone else is dependent. Safeties, linebackers, corners, you're kind of dependent on what the offense is doing. You have to wait for them to come to you and sort of figure it out. At that defensive line spot, especially if you get the right down and distance, you just go ruin it. You go bother them. You go disrupt the timing, and even that can be invaluable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.